Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading this evening comes to us from Micah, the 6th chapter. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This too is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise as we continue with the gospel reading. The Holy Gospel from John, the 19th chapter. So they took Jesus and went out, bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So also the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Perseverance, endurance, grit. Three words that describe somewhat the same thing. A determination to see something through to the end. A determination to make something happen. Thomas Edison is often held up as an example of perseverance in his determination to develop the electric light bulb. He and his associates proposed over 3,000 theories on how they might develop a more efficient incandescent lamp. Thousands and thousands of different materials were tested for the filaments, including nearly 6,000 carbonized plant fibers from literally around the world. Edison is reported as saying, "I have not failed. I have just found 10,000 ways to make a light bulb that won't work." There are many times when perseverance is all we have. To make that final push, even though it doesn't seem we have the ability. Maybe it's something simple. You know, maybe it's like a destination hike that became harder and longer than you thought it would. And you sort of want to give up and turn back. And yet, you get that second win. You push on through. You reach the end. And your reward is an incredibly gorgeous sight that you will not soon forget. Sometimes a little more gritty than that. A difficult assignment, maybe at school or at work, that requires lots of hours, sometimes working late at night. But you finish the project, even though you thought at various times you would never be able to complete it. That's what perseverance means. Continuing on, even when things look hard or even dire. And that certainly is a theme for Lent. Think of Jesus, the beginning of his ministry. Freshly baptized into our sin, driven out by the Spirit into the wilderness, spending the time there for 40 days and 40 nights fasting. He's hungry. He's tired. He's wearing thin. A perfect time for temptation to come. And yet, Jesus would not succumb to the temptations of the devil, who really basically was trying to tell him, give up, take a shortcut, here's the easy way out. And again, throughout his ministry, Jesus experienced rejection from time to time, especially at the beginning when his hometown rejects him. And as his ministry goes on, we heard in our responsive reading today, when it was time for him to be taken up, what did he do? He set his face toward Jerusalem. Determination. Perseverance. And then there's the time when the push really comes. In the garden, when Jesus is praying and with such agony that his sweat becomes as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And yet Jesus journeys on. Yes, he prayed. If there is any other way, let's go that way. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He acknowledged the Father's will over his own in order to achieve the greater goal of our salvation. And when Jesus was whipped by the soldiers, he took each lash. When the crown of thorns was placed on his head, he didn't flinch away. When the people at the pavement in front of Pilate shouted, crucify him, crucify him, he didn't turn away. And crucify him, they did. Historians call crucifixion one of the most cruel and painful types of torture and means of death. But Jesus took the nails. He heard the scoffing. He heard the challenges. If you are who you say you are, come down. He even accepted being abandoned by the Father as the weight of the sin of the world bore heavily on his shoulders. Through it all, Jesus was determined to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The cross is the ultimate sign of perseverance. We as humans can't even begin to imagine what Jesus went through for us on the cross to save us from sin and death. But through it all, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, Hebrews says, because there was a joy that was set before him. There was the promised resurrection. There was the joy of accomplishing our salvation. And so through it all, Jesus endured even the hostility of sinners. And as we are guided to the cross this evening, we are to remember that perseverance. And we are called as Christ's followers to not be quitters either. We are called to go the distance for him. We have a joy set before us. that goes way beyond an accomplished task or a breathtaking view or even the goal of lighting the entire world with light bulbs. We have the promise of the resurrection. We have the glory of life with God set before us. This perseverance is what Paul was writing to the Corinthians about. We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Throughout our life, we are to be keeping our eye on the goal of life with God through Jesus. Sometimes it seems pretty easy, but at other times, things can become nearly overwhelming so that our grit and our determination begin to flag and even fail. And this is where the comparison to Jesus' perseverance driving our own becomes even clearer. When St. Paul writes, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying the body of the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh." Jesus' perseverance, even to death on the cross, has brought us life. And that life of Jesus is shown to others by our perseverance in faith. We proclaim the death and life of Christ to all the world through our own persistent faith and trust in God, even and maybe especially in the midst of the troubles and the hardships of life. And you know, honestly, a lot of us, we never really have faced exactly what Paul is writing about in this particular section, because he's writing about facing persecution and even death because of faith in Jesus Christ. Persevering for the sake of the cross of Christ was really, truly, at times, a life and death situation. And yet these followers of Christ persevered. And even as some of them were killed because they confessed faith in the risen, resurrected, and living Lord, their faith was made even more clear to those around them. Think of the first martyr for Christ, Stephen. As he was being stoned, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Those words were really similar to what Christ cried out on the cross when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." But you notice the one difference? While Jesus cried out to his Father, Stephen cried out to the crucified, buried, risen, ascended, living Lord Jesus. "Lord Jesus, the confession of faith, receive my spirit." We wonder how we might act if we were faced with such a dire decision. Confess Christ or save your skin. It's actually hard, if not impossible, for us to know how we would respond. Because the fact of the matter is, we can never count out the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. And we can be confident that we have this for sure. We have Jesus Christ on our side. The crucified one, the one who went the distance for us, never looking back. His confidence and strength on the cross bolster our confidence and strength when our faith is put to the test. Whether it's through ordinary trials and tribulations of life, the sicknesses and injuries of life, even the death of loved ones. The confidence and strength of Christ on the cross bolsters our own confidence and strength, even when we face things like horrible natural disasters or human atrocities. The cross constantly reminds us that we can keep going. We can carry on. Even in the worst of circumstances, we are certain that Christ has defeated the greatest of enemies on the cross. Especially sin and death. And the cross, it also is a sign of the end of all the pain and suffering. When Christ, the living Lord Jesus, returns, his perseverance for us will be fully revealed when we are raised and brought into the full life of the new creation. A new creation where he has promised he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any more mourning or crying or pain, because the former things have passed away. So throughout life, and especially in the hardest of times, be guided to the cross. And there, consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or faint-hearted. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ, your living Lord. Amen. Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.